The Other Birthright Citizenship Problem by John M. Grondelsky. As the pro-life march takes place in Washington, D.C. today, it's good to remember that January 22, 2025 was the 52nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the U.S. Supreme Court decision imposing abortion on demand through birth on all the states. Roe was the 20th century's equivalent of the Dred Scott decision. In 1857, the Supreme Court said Dred Scott, a black man taken by his owner to Illinois, could not be free because he was not a person and was thus subject to whatever choice his master made. In 1973, the Supreme Court said unborn children were not persons and thus subject to whatever choice their mothers made. Both judicial abominations have now found their way into the ashcan of history. Roe by reversal in Dobbs, Dred Scott through enactment of the 13th and 14th Amendments. The 14th Amendment put to rest the question of whether slaves were persons and citizens by stipulating that being born in the United States made you a citizen and entitled to be protected against deprivation of life without due process of law. That provision is the center of controversy today because President Donald Trump has signed an executive order challenging its scope. Those who play fast and loose with the law claim the amendment is clear. Be born in America and you're a citizen. Well, the amendment actually says being born in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction. What that means is where the debate now lies. I, however, want to address a neglected side of the Born in America Gives You Rights question, one the heralds of human rights in the ACLU and the Democratic Party studiously avoid. Being born alive should give you rights. Does it? Former Democratic Governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, a medical doctor, let the cat out of the bag in an infamous 2019 radio interview in which he defended postnatal infanticide. Responding to the outcry over a Virginia Democrats bill that would have legalized third trimester, i.e., months 6 to 9 of pregnancy abortion, he had to answer what happens if the baby happens to be born alive. If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. The 14th Amendment does not say the right to live of a person born in the United States is subject to a discussion, but between the physicians and the mother. It says there is an obligation to protect that person's life. Abortionists say one thing and do another. They have always opposed any restrictions on abortion, even in the third trimester, using bogus claims of health, undefined and including psychological discomfort, to justify such abortions. Of course, they claim such abortions are rare, but they rarely use that adjective now since Bill Clinton's safe, legal, and rare criteria for abortion have been retired. That, too, was never true. Late-term abortions always risk a live birth. The question is what to do with that child, because the 14th Amendment is pretty clear. But every effort in Congress, and there have been more than 6 dozen, to enact a Born Alive Protection Act, requiring that child be kept alive and that a second physician to care for a potentially born alive child be present at a late-term abortion, were always killed by Democrat opposition. Just Monday, as Virginia Senate Democrats rammed through a state constitutional amendment to legalize abortion on demand through pregnancy in the Commonwealth, they defeated 21-19 on a straight party vote, an additional amendment that would have explicitly required protection of such born alive babies. They allowed no responsibility to protect a baby born alive in Virginia as a result of an abortion. This is not abortion. This is infanticide and a deliberate blurring of the 14th Amendment's born in the United States line. It's interesting because this issue has even been broached in philosophical discussions about what the right to choose entails. What does the right to abortion involve? Does it include the right to obtain an abortion procedure or also the right to a dead fetus as a result of that procedure? One interlocutor has argued the latter, insisting, with the consistency of feel sorry for me because I'm an orphan who just killed my parents, that a woman might experience psychological anguish if she did not know where and with whom her clump of cells ended up and so was entitled to finality. Since then, abortionists have gotten savvier about the problem of babies being born alive during third trimester abortions. The standard procedure now is to inject the fetus with digoxin prior to abortion. Digoxin is a drug used to manage certain heart conditions. Use in abortions is at least off-label. Put simply, digoxin essentially causes a heart attack in the unborn child, fetal demise, as the abortionists like to say. When they are sure the baby is dead, they can then remove him, her, or induce labor to birth a dead baby. It gets around that nasty 14th Amendment born rule. So, when you listen to all the human rights types wailing and gnashing their teeth about the supposed bludgeoning of human rights by the Trump administration over the scope of born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof in the case of illegal aliens, ask those crying crocodile tears. Will you also work to enact a Born Alive Protection Act? Don't be surprised if all you will get in response is silence. They prefer profitable silent screams in utero.